Blog Talk Radio.
Good Sunday morning. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption Higher Dimensions Radio Broadcast. I'm Linda Shua, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that you have joined together with me for Sunday's message entitled Chosen by God for His Praise. Chosen by God for His Praise. There's a lot of detail about spiritual inheritance in that title, and we're going to discuss that here on the broadcast this morning. But before we do, let's go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for another glorious day to be alive, well clothed in our right mind. You've given us life, health, and strength. Thank you, Lord, for renewing us and giving us, Lord God, the wisdom, Lord, to walk in your word, to walk in the fullness of the understanding of all that you have given to us and our purpose here for living, our purpose for being, and you choosing us, God, from the foundation of the world to be to the praise of your glory. And so, Father, today we are asking that all of the lives of those that are listening be blessed through your words, that their spiritual eyes be come open to the understanding, God, of what you want to do in their lives and their purpose for being here. Bless their families and everything that concerns them, perfected God. We pray for our leaders in our nation and abroad. May you get the glory, God, out of everything that we are experiencing here in our nation and abroad. We pray that you will rule in the affairs of men, of the leaders in our churches as well. Father, get the glory. We praise you. We honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And again, thank all of you for tuning into the broadcast. We are bringing forth the message that is entitled, Chosen by God for His Praise. That is the whole reason why God has saved us, that we may bring forth His glory and praise in the earth. And of course, the result is eternal life. God has promised us eternal life. All of those that are born in Christian believers in Jesus Christ, we have the promised inheritance. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so we want to look at scriptures as it pertains to that. We want to first go to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. And then we're going to move along in the book of 1 Peter, the second chapter. But Ephesians chapter 1, Paul begins to admonish the church to help to understand their spiritual inheritance and to let them know the reason that God has chosen them. See, it's not that. It's not only that we are born again and now that we're saved, you know, that's all it is, you know, that Paul alluded to in the scriptures. You know, we are men most miserable. If only in this life that we believe in Jesus, we have to believe that there is a spiritual inheritance that is leading us into eternal life, that our faith believing in Jesus Christ is leading us to have everlasting life with Christ. That through Jesus Christ's resurrection, we would also be raised with him at that final hour. So that's really what it's all about. But in these scriptures here, what we're going to read in the book of Ephesians, Paul is, of course, is really wanting to drill in to the saints at Ephesus that they have a spiritual inheritance. And so many times on the broadcast, I try to get people to really understand who we really are in Christ. And to take our eyes off of the natural with concentrating on what's surrounding us and what's happening or transpiring in our lives and really realize who we are in Jesus Christ. We have spiritual inheritance. There are promises that God has made to all of those that have put their faith in him. And so Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, Paul is saying here, by God giving us all things that we need, in the spiritual realm, in heavenly places. That means that God controls everything. He has blessed us with all things. Look what it says here. Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual spiritual blessing. That means divinely God is able to heal you. Healing is yours, deliverance, mercy, grace, provision. Whatever you need is all spiritual in the heavenly places where God is the one that can release everything you need. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have a different inheritance than those that are in the world that have not put their faith in Jesus Christ. Those that have not put their faith in Jesus Christ, they don't have the spiritual abundance of blessings like we do. Those of us that are in the kingdom of God, we understand the word of God. We don't have to go back and forth with people to argue about who Christ is in our lives, because we know that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heaven places. He just lavished upon us the peace, the joy, the contentment, the deliverance, the mercy, the healing, the forgiveness, everything that we need in the spiritual realm. It comes from God because he is our peace. Christ is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is everything that we need. So all that comes in the spiritual form and from heavenly places divinely that God releases. So verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, we have been chosen by God before the foundation of the world, because all of those that believe in God, he accepts us into the beloved. Now we accepted into the beloved. And the reason why he says from the foundation of the world, because he knows that all of those that put their faith in him, they will be blessed. They will be chosen. We have been chosen. People get it twisted sometimes and to thinking that there are people that have already, you know, been destined to be saved. That in and of itself is not correct. In the place of which you think as God has chosen us from the foundation of the world, in that we choose him, then all of the blessings, all of the spiritual inheritance belong to us. Now, there are people that God do choose because he raises them up to do a particular work. But we all have the choice, the freedom to choose to make Christ Jesus our Lord and our personal Savior. Then when we do that, we accept it in the beloved. We are called his own. He can use us now. He'll raise us up. And so again, he did this that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Because now he's going to impute his righteousness upon us. When he's chosen us, he's given us his righteousness where we can bring forth and bear fruit met for repentance. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. See, it's all through Jesus Christ. And the only way you can receive Jesus is that you have to believe by faith of what the scripture says, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You have to believe what the scripture says in God sending Jesus and raising him up from the dead. He died for our sins, God raising him up from the dead. And if you believe that, then, of course, you are adopted as children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the pledges of his will, of his will. That's why the Bible says, you know, a person can't even come to God unless God draws them, because God is the one that's seeing and looking into our hearts to see, you know, if we are sincere. There are many people that confess Christ, but they're not sincere. So God, when he sees that we are sincere, he accepts us into the beloved and gives us his spirit, according as the scripture says, according to his will, according to his good pleasures of his will. Verse 6 says, to the priest. Look at what the scripture is saying here, why he has predestinated us as children that are adopted by Jesus Christ to himself. Verse 6 says, to the praise of glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. And this is what I'm saying here. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through the blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. This is what the whole matter is. This is the whole purpose, that we will have redemption, that we have redemption through his blood, meaning that God will buy us back from the grips and the penalty of sin which is death that we deserve for being a sinner. He redeemed us with his blood. So he has chosen us that we be redeemed by his blood, forgiven, imputed his righteousness, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, the grace that never runs out, the grace that will never round on you. You may feel you're inadequate. You may feel that you messed up. The grace of God will never run out on you because Jesus' blood is powerful enough to continue to deliver you, to save you. It's the riches of his grace. It's the riches of his grace. And that's why the Bible says it is the goodness of God that leads one to repentance, because God is able to save you. Verse 8 again, wherein he has abound towards us in all wisdom and beauty, giving us understanding of what he has done in our spiritual inheritance and why he has chosen us from the foundation of the world, giving us the understanding why we are here, to understand what's going on and to know what's coming next, what the future holds. All of the prophecies and scriptures that let us know what God is going to do with this world. Verse 8 says, having made known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his pleasures, which he had purposed in himself. He's made known to us the mystery of his will, again, to show us what is going to happen to this world, what his plans are for our lives, how we can trust him and believe him. He's opened up scripture to help us to understand who we are, our spiritual inheritance, and why we are chosen in him. When you are a believer, you are blessed. You are so blessed. Here, now in earth and eternity, and you're heading to eternity where we will spend eternity with God, because we believe and we know that God is ruler, maker of heaven and earth. We know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And God sent his word to give us the understanding of the mystery of his will, of what is going to take place in his life. We're not caught up into other beliefs that are not real. And that's why you're blessed, because you have come into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have taken on the Spirit of Christ to know who Christ is, what God has done in sending Christ to redeem us from our sins. You're not lost. You have the pattern of truth right here in the Word. So it's a blessing when God saves you to open up your understanding. As Scripture says it, wherein he has abound towards us in all wisdom and beauty. That means understanding, not getting off course. Not letting people sway you every wind of doctrine to take you out of the will of God. Just because you may be going through a dry season, or you may have some questions that you don't understand, or you may have experienced some things that you want to know why God allowed this to happen in your life. But you stay in that place of believing in Jesus Christ. You stay in that place of understanding the mystery of his word. Your heart doesn't become hardened because of things you don't understand. Because now you know your spiritual inheritance is in Christ, and you know, as Scripture says in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those that love God. Verse 9 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasures which he purposed in himself. He purposed some goodness in himself to give us the best here in life when we become believers, when we put our faith in him. You only can get the best of God when you put your faith in his son, Jesus Christ. That's just the way he has done it. That's the protocol, the divine protocol that God has set forth in the earth. You want a good life? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because scripture tells us of our spiritual inheritance that we have with him. That's why he says, set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Because God gave Jesus Christ the power and authority over heaven and in earth. Everything in heaven and in earth, he brings all things together and holds it up by the word of his power. And so many times, and we get ready to go to 1 Peter in just a few, because now we're going to move on to the place where people reject Christ for their lack of understanding. They reject Christ because they don't want to abide and live in Christ for the things that he represents. And we're going to look at that in Scripture. The stone which the builder refused. The thing that people reject is the thing that is able to save them. The chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And he's a God of love. And he's a God of righteousness, no matter what people feel. See, people don't want to bring themselves into subjection. So when they do that, they can't be chosen by God. You can't be chosen by God when you want to reject all of his mandate, all of his wonderful, beautiful law that's able to guide our lives, keep our lives in balance. See, the law is still good. But now he's given us that good grace to keep our lives. Verse 11 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who work all things after the counsel of his will. We have to obtain an inheritance. We are so blessed. That's why the Bible says, beautiful are the feet of those that proclaim the good tidings, the good news of the gospel, because Jesus Christ came to save and redeem. You know, people live sometimes like they're going to live forever. They don't think about their soul, their eternal state when they leave here. They're trying to do things in scientific matters to help people stay alive forever, like a clone or something. Because people want to have the goods of the world. They like this world because it's appeasing to the flesh. And that's what Christ came to deliver us from, the appetite of the flesh. Because the flesh is enmity against God. And no way can the flesh please God, because our flesh wants every worldly thing possible, even in pride. So we have obtained this wonderful inheritance because he predestined us to have it according to the purpose of him who work all things after the counsel of his will. God purposed it in himself. He said in Scripture, when he couldn't find, you know, no one to make a covenant with, or to swear by, rather, because we have the covenant with him, but to swear by, to make the covenant good, he swore to himself. So he purposed it in himself that he's going to bless us, that we have our spiritual inheritance, that we will have eternal life in him. He did it for himself. His divine will made it possible that those who put their faith in him will have eternal life. We're chosen in Christ. Verse 12 says that we should be what? To the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's the whole matter. We are to be to the praise of his glory. And the praise of his glory, give him adoration, lifting him up in the face of the world. Showing the world that God is greater, that God is wonderful, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the praise. God wants the praise. He wants to be magnified above the earth. He said, if I, even I, am lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. And that's just the word. He wants to be lifted up for all men to see him, because God is about saving souls. He's about delivering. He's about showing mercy and compassion to thousands of generations that will put their faith in him. So those of us that are saved, we have to continue to give God the praise and the glory in the face of the world. Never shy away from our faith. Sometimes we go through things that, you know, try to shake us. But the Bible says that the righteous will never be shaken. Neither will we be put to shame. So some of the things that you're enduring or have happened in your life, you're not put to shame. The Bible says that he's the lifter of your head, and there's a reason for that, because he wants to show forth to the world that you're going to still praise him, you're going to still worship him, no matter what happened in your life, no matter what circumstance you encounter. That's to the praise of his glory, of his honor, that we still believe we love God, And that will never change because we have been sealed. Our souls have been sealed to the day of redemption. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says those that seek to save their lives, you will lose it. And those that lose their lives, you will save it. When you lose your life and deny yourself, that's what it's talked about, deny yourself in Christ, you find your life. Because you realize it's all about God. It's not about our pride. It's not about ego. It's not about what we want people to think about us. It's all about Christ. They need to see our affliction. They need to see when we suffer. They need to see when we are not perfect. Because God has covered it all, nailing all accusations to the cross and delivered us. Pretty much made an open shame of the devil to show them, you know, these are my people. To the praise of my glory, I am their God. I am their Redeemer. I am the one that will deliver them. I am the one that will set them free. I am the one to make them stand. It's all spiritual. That's why we have to keep our eyes on Christ Jesus. We go a little further here. Scripture, it says in verse 13, and we still in Ephesians chapter 1, if you're just now tuning in, now in verse 13, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, we are to the praise of God's glory. Because when we first trusted in Christ, as Scripture is saying here, and we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, after we did all of this and believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, glory to God. The Holy Spirit of promise is the guarantee that we belong to Christ. We've been chosen by him and we have eternal life. The Holy Spirit of promise is the guarantee that we belong to Christ. That's why the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You have to have the Spirit of Christ if you want to belong to God. And you can't come to God unless you come through Jesus Christ. And when you receive Jesus Christ, he gives you the Holy Spirit that is the promise sealed that you belong to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you have eternal life. We have eternal life. We go a little further here in verse 14. Look what it is. This is what the Holy Spirit of promise is, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, the possession, the purchase, possession unto the praise of his glory. You know what all this is saying? That the Holy Spirit promise is the earnest. You know what the earnest is? It's like payment that has already been paid, guaranteed, as said before, that we have an eternal inheritance until the redemption, until Christ comes and redeems us from this world. That's what the Bible says, you know, now our redemption draws nigh. Well, we already have redemption through his blood. We say, now there's another redemption when we're going to be out of here. So you're chosen for those purposes, that you belong to God unto eternal life, because it's the earnest. It's already been paid for. It's the earnest of our inheritance. It's already been given to us because Christ died. You have somebody have a will. The scripture talks about that. A will is not enforced until somebody dies. You can't get anything out of the will until a person dies. Well, Christ, when died, now the inheritance is all ours. It's a promise that's already been given to us. Verse 15 says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, we may want to stop right here because Paul is going on again to just admonish the church how he's praying for them. And he doesn't cease to pray for them. He just continues to pray for them. But let's go to verse 17. Look what he says here, because this is important, and we want to hurry up and get to 1 Peter. It says that God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. See, that's important. People need to know and understand the Bible and what Jesus Christ really came to do. So Paul is saying that God will give the church, give them wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of their understanding, be enlightened, that you know what the hope of calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh, there's a lot of riches of the glory of his inheritance, of God's inheritance in the saints. All of what belongs to us as a believer. That's why we have to speak the word, decree and declare the promises of God over our lives. It says in 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards all of us believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought. He worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. Now, this is talking about power that Jesus Christ has and the fullness of all that he has given us, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Because now Christ, what is at the right hand in heavenly places, and principalities and powers and rulers of darkness don't have nothing on that, because now we have the spiritual inheritance that Christ Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, the saints, praying for us, sending out angels to protect us, cover us, bless us, keep us. That's your spiritual inheritance. That's what we depend on. That's why we pray and praise and worship. Hallelujah. We bring it in. We call in our spiritual inheritance in Christ. We know where our help comes from. We keep at it. We don't back down because life gets hard. Life gets difficult, or you don't understand some things. Oh, we draw upon the source of our strength, Jesus Christ, our righteousness. We get up in there and continue to draw out the inheritance. Draw from the source of our inheritance, Jesus Christ. You've been blessed. We've been blessed. We have all that we need, the Bible says, that pertain to life and godliness, because Christ has given it to us. And we're not in a form of religion. We're not walking about in a form of religion. We have a real inheritance according to the good pleasures of his will, according to the covenant of his word, through his blood. It's not something we make up or conjure up. It's not a host like other religions, a bogus religion that can't offer you anything. Jesus Christ has set this forth for us, to be forgiven of our sins, to have peace, and to have eternal life. Now, we go here in 1 Peter, of course, and want to look at the second chapter. And let's start here, verse 2. Or let's look at verse 3, because this is what we set for earlier today. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto lively living stone. Look what it says here. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Peter is telling us something here. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, whom coming as unto a lively stone. Now this lively stone is talking about Christ. This lively stone is Christ. And look what it says, rejected. Your translation may have disallowed. Rejected indeed of men. This lively stone, Jesus Christ, was rejected indeed by men. Disallowed. People don't want Jesus. But look what it says, but chosen of God and precious. Chosen of God and precious. The stone, you know, as builders build houses and build infrastructures of buildings and all of the things, they choose different stones. And they look for, you know, the right stone that they want placed there. And we consider Christ as a stone. If you think about it, the builder may not want that particular stone because it doesn't look right. Maybe they think that it doesn't fit right. But the very stone that they have rejected is the one that will hold it up, hold the building up. Stone that the builders rejected will hold up everything. Because Christ is the God of love, came to redeem us from our sins, from the pride, from the arrogance, from the fear, from the rejection. He's telling us how we should love, walk in love with one another, care for one another, be humble and do the things in our lives that would give us peace and secure our eternal destiny. But that's not what people want. So Jesus is the lively soul that people reject. So he's telling us here that he wants us to look at that lively stone as our lives. Look what it says here. Let's read verse 4 again. Whom also unto a lively stone disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Look what verse 5 says. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, and offering of spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. See, we are the ones, too, that as Jesus was disallowed and rejected and all that, we also are disallowed, rejected, and things like that. But look what it says here. You are built up a spiritual house, chosen of God, verse 4. Indeed, of men, you may be rejected and all of that, disallowed, but chosen of God, and we are precious. You're precious to God. We are precious to God. Doesn't matter what the world's saying, how they reject us, and people try to do you all kind of way and what they feel about you. God wants us to understand that we are being built up. Verse 5. A spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's what we read in Ephesians, to the praise of his glory. Chosen to be to the praise of his glory, to bring him glory. Hallelujah. It's all right to be rejected. It's all right to be disallowed. Oh, we just going to keep praising God because we are precious to him. Chosen, a royal priesthood. Let's keep reading here, for the time is getting short with us. Verse 6 says, wherefore also it is contained in scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elected. Jesus is the chief cornerstone that is elected, precious, and he that believe on him shall not be confound. You won't be put to shame when you believe in Jesus Christ. Because he knows that all things are going to work together for your good anyway. It's nothing that no one can do to you to bring shame to you. Because God already knows the thoughts of men and the hearts that are evil. So God has elected you and you're precious. It says in verse 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. You know, you have to have that stone that holds up the corner. You know, that's why you have columns, strong columns that hold up buildings, and there's this particular places. I mean, I know an architect would really know where to go and what stone would really hold that building up. There's like one particular stone that holds that building up, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Maybe disallowed of men. Oh, but he holds all things up. Maybe rejected of men. Oh, but he holds all things up. And he still loves those that disallow and reject him. That's how good he is. And it's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Yeah. That's why the Bible declares that, you know, you could be forgiven for every sin except for blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because people reject Christ every day, all day, and they live a long time. Because God is not willing that they should perish. He's still giving them a chance. That's why he was on the cross. He said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He still loves people that reject them. So we look in scripture here again, verse 7, latter part, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Look what verse 8 says, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient whereunto also they were disappointed. Yeah. If you want to stumble, he lets you go head on and keep stumbling. Keep being in darkness. He'll blind you even more. That's what scripture says. Because God is not going to force anybody to accept him. People can be smart and intelligent and wise about a lot of things in the world that pertain to them and that make them happy. So God is giving people a chance to really read and take their knowledge and understand the word. Humble yourself and know that you need a Savior. Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at that. Here's again scripture. He's telling us that we ought to show forth praises of him who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. He wants us to show forth his praise. Because he's doing something. When you show forth God's praise, when you keep praising God, when you lift him up, you're showing forth his praises to people, to the world, that he is marvelous and brought up to the marvelous light. That we're not in darkness now and we can let sin consume us, our desires consume us, but we know how to stay in the realm of the Spirit and receive our spiritual inheritance of being a child of God, redeemed through his blood. See, verse 10 said, which in time past, we were not a people of him, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy. But look, now we have obtained mercy. So now in verse 11, he just tells us that he beseech us as children, strangers, and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And let us know to keep on reading down there, and time has had our conversation in the world. But now we are to the praise of his glory. So we are chosen by God to bring forth the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Every single day of our lives, no matter how you feel. They say it's two times when you praise God, someone said. When you feel like it and when you don't. Because God is good all the time. And he's a wonderful Savior. So we just praise God today and give him glory. Thank God for allowing us to come on the broadcast and bring forth the word. We pray that our soul be enriched and increased with the word of knowledge, and that we go forth and understand our spiritual inheritance in Christ and know that we have been chosen to praise, chosen to praise his name, a royal priesthood unto God, a holy nation, peculiar and precious unto God. We have lively stone for Christ, because he is the chief cornerstone. He holds all things up. Don't have to worry about anything. No worries. God got you. God will always take care of you. Hallelujah. But whatever happens in our life, he does it to perfect us so that we can become blameless, as we just read in the scripture, that we can, you know, be before him blameless, because we want to be able to show forth the praise of his glory. Present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Blameless unto God. And he does that through the sanctification, through his grace. So God bless you. Thank you all so much for tuning into the broadcast. May the word of the Lord continue to resonate in our hearts and minds and souls. And until next time, I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour. Have a wonderful and blessed Sunday.